All right. Well, thank you, everyone, and good morning, and welcome to the Interoperability Standards Workgroup meeting. I'm Seth Pazinski with the Office of National Coordinator for Health IT, and I want to thank you for joining us today. I'll be serving as the designated federal officer for today's call on behalf of Wendy DeBoa. Just as a reminder, all workgroup meetings are open to the public, and public feedback is welcome throughout. Members of the public can type their comments throughout the meeting in the Zoom chat feature, or make verbal comments during the public comment period, which is scheduled toward the end of our agenda today. And to start our meeting, I'm going to start with a roll call of the workgroup members. So when I call your name, if you can please indicate that you are present. And we'll start with the co-chairs, Sarah DeSilvi.
I am here. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Steve Eichner.
Good morning.
Pooja Babra.
Good morning.
Shyla Blinn.
Good morning.
Ricky Bloomfield.
Good morning. I'm here.
Adele Briggs Melanson. Hans Butendijk.
Good morning.
Good morning. I did receive messages that Keith Campbell and Christina Caraballo will not be able to join us today. So next is Grace Cordovano. Raj Dash.
I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. Derek DeYoung. Lee Fleischer. Anna Galvin. Raj Gudvarti. Jim Gerges. Stephen Lane.
Good morning. I'm here.
Hey, Stephen. I did get a message that, I see Hung Liu.
Good morning.
Good morning. Anna McAllister. Katrina Miller Parrish.
Good morning.
Morning. Aaron Neinstein. I got a message that Daya Oshunkatan is going to be not available to join us today. Rochelle Prosser.
Present. Good morning.
Good morning. Mark Savage.
Good morning.
Alex Muggy. Joel Andres.
Good morning.
Morning. Bill Sutherland. Shelly Spiro.
Morning.
Morning. Zeynep Zumar King. And Naresh Sundar Rajwan.
Good morning.
Good morning. Right, that completes our roll call. I want to thank everyone again, and I will turn it back to Sarah and Ike to get into our agenda.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for coming to this meeting as we complete our charge to HITECH, and we look forward to seeing HITECH members on Thursday in person in DC. We have a lot to do today. So our focus really is ensuring we review remaining level two elements and agree on the text for the final recommendation, the transmittal letter, and address any questions that ONC has or clarifications that ONC requires in order to issue that transmittal letter to HITECH. Again, hoping to keep conversations efficient and swift, because if we cannot achieve consensus here, we should again save it until next year, because we will be reconvening. We do need to make sure that we get that recommendation transmittal letter out to HITECH after the call. Ike, anything else to note?
Just to add in again, our gratitude towards workgroup members for their participation and their valuable insights, as well as to the support team for helping make all of this happen. And that being said, I think we need to get into the work of the day so we can put together our transmittal letter.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ike. Next slide. Next slide. I'm just going to remind everybody, because some of the comments on the text and our recommendations on the transmittal letter relate to charge, just to ground ourselves finally on the charge that was given to us by HITECH, which is generally to review and provide recommendations on draft USCDI V5. This includes any new data classes and elements that should be considered for the final USDIV 5, and then to discuss as many as possible level 2 data elements and classes that are elevated to significance by the members of this committee that we feel should be part of draft USDIV 5. This is a largely where we're focusing our efforts today, just to make sure that we review and agree upon those level 2 elements in order to get it over to high tech. Next slide. Again, thank you to all of the work that's been going on. I will need your the assistance of entities in ISWD to help elevate when there have been any significant changes in text to previous wording on final recommendations that are already reviewed, because we are going to really lean into those level 2 elements. So if there's something of note in a USDI V5 element that the committee needs to review, please let me know. But we're going to dive into level 2 and some of the general recommendations that Hans elevated for the bulk of the meeting. Next slide. We have a lot of work that was done, and thank you, on the recommendation for health insurance information, hoping to land that today. We had work done on the maternal SDOH note, clarification, and thank you for this, on the medication administration element. Again, thank you for working on that, everyone who did. And then we have in the level 2 elements, you'll see some comments throughout that the level 2 element that was suggested is included in the recommendation above, and so there's no need to focus on it specifically. Again, want to thank the individuals who worked on the substance food recommendation. Next slide. And then we're going to be reviewing these level 2 elements really for the first time. Again, thank you everyone who helped get recommendations for review across these. And a lot of them were from previous meetings that are iterations of ISWG, just rolling forward to this year. And then I believe there is one more slide. And again, yeah, so this is the demographic information. Again, a lot of these elements were recommended by ISWG in 2023 and prior. So those recommendations that we sent over in previous years are pulled forward again, for example. So I think we're ready now to actually go into the shared drive to start the work at the level 2 elements. Again, I promise to leave time to comment on the process elements, Hans, but I do want to get review of those level 2 elements before we go any further. I will not neglect that this time. And I need you all to help me be accountable to that. So we are scrolling all the way down to the level 2 elements. Again, if there's anything significant in a previous comment, recommendation on a draft USIV 5 element, please let me know. But we're going to really try to dive into the level 2 first to complete that element of the charge. Again, skipping on the care plan, I do not think there were any significant edits. If we roll over to the recommendation, I think I'm correct that there were slight tweaks, but other than that, does ONC need any clarification on the final recommendation as it stands?
From my perspective, I'm good, and I made a note to Mark that it was copied verbatim from this into the, oh, there it is. It's the slide. The recommendations are, there's 3 recommendations in this one, on this one line, 8, 9, and 10. And so I think I've got everything, unless there's something that's in the text that I've got here that's not right.
Yeah, no, that was our responsibility to review prior to the meeting. So barring any comments to that effect, I think we're good. The one thing I forgot to state heading into Thursday is that given the need to ensure that the charge of ISWG at direction of HITACH is completed in the public sphere, if there are any concerns with any of the comments that we've elevated or the level 2 elements that we've raised, and they're not able to be addressed in time box within the meeting itself, we need to bump them until next year, because we can't have post high tech addendums. We really have to make sure that we resolve and agree upon consensus, right, in the meeting. Al?
I just wanted to add something. We've added this in the past, but if individuals, individual members still feel strongly about the recommendation that we might not get to, they are still more than welcome to submit that comment as an individual. And as a reminder, the deadline for all comments on draft V5 is Monday, the 15th at midnight.
Thank you so much, Al. Just clarifying that if for some reason we don't get it today in ISWG, each of us, of course, has the ability to comment in the public process. Mark?
So that means that you and Ike, as workgroup co-chairs, will make whatever decision you need to make on Thursday to excise some text. It doesn't necessarily mean that an entire recommendation is dropped. It's just whatever you need to excise to meet high tech concerns so that as much can go forward as possible. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. So the next job is taking our recommendations at ISWG to high tech, and the high tech committee itself has an opportunity to say they do or do not accept recommendations, right? Or they have comments on recommendations. If those if that recommendation can't be resolved within the high tech meeting, and just from a point of process, it gets bumped to next year. I just want to make sure.
Sometimes the comment is just about a particular word and only the word needs to be dropped.
And those would be very easy to do. Yes. Those kinds of edits are very easy to do in real time, Mark. But anything more substantial, we just want to note that we are bound by our charge within ISWG and ITAC to resolve things in public spheres and public spaces. So post-meeting addendums, just making sure everyone's aware. There's lots of new members. So, okay, care plan. Great, good job. Okay, next. Trying to keep it going. Thank you for, I believe that we're good on the recommendation for health literacy. We thank you so much for all of the comment we had. Again, if there's no, given that we've already discussed these things, I'm really trying to lean into the things we haven't, and we've all had time to review. I think we're good. And Al, I'm going to again ask you if you need additional things, you can stop us, but I want to keep on going.
I just want to, so thanks, Sarah. I just want to, for this one in particular, because there was an original recommendation that was edited last week. And I just wanted to make sure that I got the right edits in the new text under recommendation number 11.
I absolutely read it, and it looks aligned with what we agreed upon both in the committee last week. Yeah.
Okay.
Again, what we're having to do, as you can tell, because of timing, is ensure that the content and the transmittal letter that Al and we all are responsible for, and Ike and I have to assist with, meets your intent as we are going through things in the meeting. So it's definitely the timelines contracted. So again, thanks. This is why I'm just making sure Al has what he needs. I think we're good on a specimen collection date and time. Correct?
I think so.
Yes. I'm gonna ask you to raise your hand. And Katrina, thank you for drafting this with, and again, all of you were significant in helping with this. I think if it's okay, given there's a lot of content change in the substance food recommendation, I wanna lean into that one next. I hope you all had a chance to review the recommendation. It's very straightforward. Many of our pharmacy friends have given the rationale for why this level 2 element would need to be elevated. And then of note, there's also, we have recommendation 13 and recommendation 14. Do members of ISWG approve of the text in the recommendation letter as our colleagues drafted? Great. Okay, Mark?
One question that's come up in various elements. At the applicable standard, should it say something like SNOMED CT, among others, just because we're not being, as I understand it, we're not constraining a particular code? If it's fine as is, let's go forward. It's just a question.
Yeah, Mark, it's fine because every time we cite an applicable standard, it's always at least. Systems would have to would be required to represent the data element with at least SNOMED CT or whatever. Yes, so that's fine.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, great. All right, so now we are moving on to, again, thank you for all the work that happened there. So going over to family health history, I believe there was both a general and specific elements there. Thank you all for this, again, pulling forward, hoping that this captures, again, expecting everyone to review this prior to the meeting, and I'm sorry to be so firm given the timeline, but hoping that we can approve this as drafted so that Al can put it in the transmittal letter, Mark.
One addition is to mention the data class. It was in level two, recommending that the data element be added to a family health history data class. That's new since the last meeting.
And the rationale, like, where did that come from?
It needs to have a data class.
I want to make sure that you bring people along.
In looking at the various options, I talked to some folks who said that at the exchange level, it really, family health history as a data element really functions more like a data class in FHIR, and that for now it makes the most sense to leave it as ONC has it at level two in a family health history data class. And if there needs to be any tweaking in the future, ISWG can do that in the future.
Any objections to the recommendation of a data class to support the addition of the family health history data element? Going once, going twice. Okay, moving on. I also, again, want to thank everyone who, again, thanks for all of that work. Again, just trying to keep the ball rolling. Thank you for the work that was done to refine the suggestions for the health insurance elements. I believe this recommendation really adequately contains the conversation that we had both in what we're able to support now and recommendations for future standards development and clarity. Whoever's hovering on the hyperlink, if you can move, there we go. Is that what you wanted to do, Katrina? I hope that was what you meant.
Yes, thanks.
Yeah. Any concerns with the recommendation as drafted? And it looks like I don't think the text is long enough. The box is long enough to look at the recommendation letter text, Al, is that correct? I think it's hidden. Is that true? There we go. I just want to make sure that everyone can see the recommendation. So if we scroll up, please, in the box or somehow, I know Google.
Yeah, I'm trying to make it visible.
I'm sorry.
This might work.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, there we go.
Awesome. Thank you. So I just want to make sure people see the text. So the recommendation was drafted by members of the committee. Thank you. Or the work group. Thank you so much. I want folks to see the text in the recommendation letter and how that's transmitted because that's in the transmittal letter. Hans?
Small note, I think the indents and the bullets might be off. So if it was intended to be literally going into the letter, then the usage note needs to come back out to the left.
So don't worry about format, Hans. This is copied from the Word document into this, and it's just the content is there. Don't worry about the bullets and spacing and all that.
Sounds good.
Albert's a bullet master. He really, the formatting is amazing. Thanks, Al. And again, I want to thank ONC for supporting a very condensed timeline in delivering this transmittal letter. It was a busy week and weekend. So thank you so much. And so any concerns with the text as drafted? I don't see any. And again, thank you to the work of the committee that came to that agreement. I'm very appreciative. All right. So the rationale, thank you, very tidy recommendation statement for the maternal social determinants of health data element and the clinical notes data class. Again, thank you for refining the note from the conversation that we had last week. Any concerns with the text of the recommendation as drafted? Thank you so much. Moving on. And again, I expect hands to be raised if there are concerns. I just want to make sure. All right. So the this is fairly, again, I want to thank everyone who worked on the synthesis of our recommendations within medications. There was a lot of work in there. Again, I want to comments from our colleagues at CMS and extensive work of our pharmacy experts. So I just want to note that what we have here is a very robust and helpful recommendation, and it's recommendation 20. And I'm just want to make sure, are there any concerns with the recommendation, which is recommending that OMG specific medication administration event dot elements?
Yeah.
Any concerns with the text as drafted here and in already in the transmittal letter? Thank you. Oh, for record keeping, could members state? Oh, yeah. Okay. So Al is asking that if you're writing approved, just actually say rec 20, right? And I can also do something more formal, Al, if you'd like a hands raising.
Just fine. No, that's fine. I think it would help the chat becomes a better record of the of everybody's vote, especially if there's an objection of some sort.
Yeah. So if you can just say, because each of the recommendations obviously has a number. So if you can say approve rec 20, just for the sake of Al's tracking, that would be, thanks, Hans. All right. So thank you so much. Awesome. Moving along, next element. This is the recommendation for portable transporters. The text of the recommendation started. Again, whoever, I think Stephen, maybe you're not on. Yeah, he's off again. So any concerns with the addition of recommendation 16, which is the portable medical order data element under orders data class?
I'm good with it, so don't worry.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Hans. Okay. Thank you again to all SWG members who supported this recommendation and the drafting. It's very, very helpful. I do want to note that, again, thank you so much to our colleagues at CMS who are reviewing and integrating and blending their recommendations into existing elements. The next element was elevated to and discussed by CMS, but again, thank you for noting that it's already covered. So the advanced directives element was covered by additional recommendation above, no need to focus on it. I want to now call out a element that has been discussed in previous ISWG meetings as really critical from a CDC and CMS perspective, and this is recommendation that ONC add facility address data element to complement other facility information data elements, such as facility name, facility identifier, and facility type. Any comments or discussion on this? Again, this has been part of a suite of requests that CMS and CDC have made from a surveillance and monitoring perspective. Any concerns with this recommendation? All right, okay, moving on. Again, the medication administration element that CMS elevated to level 2, I feel like almost like an auctioneer right now, but the medication administration element of it that was recommended, CMS notes that it was addressed above. If we go over to the next one, again, thank you. So we go over to the next one. Can we go, so Al, for this one, can we look at the recommendation first?
Scroll left
and look at the, so there is the medication prescribed code suggestion, right? And then Shelley and ISWG members convened and recommended to not add it. If we're recommending to not add it, it is just do not add and there's no comment required. So Shelley, can you help give context for this and how it's integrated, the approach was integrated into your other recommendations? Thanks, Shelley.
Yes. Well, number one, it was a level zero, and I didn't convene with anyone, but I couldn't find why we would need this, because it's asking for a prescription code, and it's asking for RX norm or NDC, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. That's already covered in medication. So when you're saying the medication, you're already putting the code in. That wouldn't be a different code. I didn't understand why it was needed.
I'm going to ask, go to Hans, and then if a representative from CDC or CMS can help us, again, if we can't achieve consensus in this meeting, we can come back next year and get it, but we do have a lot to cover. So if there's enough concerns and there's such a clear, please don't, it might be that this is not moved forward. Hans?
I support Shelley's comment, plus that in the implementation in FHIR and CCDA, there actually is the focus on the prescription or the medication request. And in a medication request in combination with the medication and data elements, those codes are all already covered as to what was ordered. So I would agree is that I'm not sure what the new aspect is would be for this level zero and whether it therefore should be removed from OnDeck altogether because it's already there.
Al, do you want to lean in and then I'm going to go to CMS?
Yeah, I mean, to highlight Hans's point, this data element, this is one of the data elements that was submitted a while back, felt like the code was different than the name, but in fact, the data element represents both the name and the code for a medication. This is a data element that should have been designated as a duplicate of medication, and we're in the process of rectifying that and other similar duplicate data elements that have slipped through. So I agree with everything Shelley said and everything that Han said.
And then now I'm going to lean on our CMS friends who are on the call. Given that there is no comment in the final recommendation column except that to counter Shelley's recommending do not add, are we okay with not adding it as it seems to be a duplicate and covered elsewhere? And if hi Joel, I know I'm sorry to call you out, but
no, it's fine. I'll say just as I think the sole representative from CMS here, I think we're okay with designating this as a duplicate code. We'll take a look and see if there's a need for it, but I think given the discussion here, we're fine pulling this back. And even if we did retain it, it would simply be a request to move it to level one, not to include it within version five. So I think given all of that, we're fine with considering this a duplicate code.
Thank you so much. All right. Moving on to the recommendation, if we can go over it again, look at the element and the request. So there's a question within the medical device data class to add an element device used. And if you scroll over, you can see the recommendation as drafted in column M. And then you can see Tracy documented the initial draft and then Al has put for us the recommendation that would be in the text in the transmittal letter. Recommendation 22, recommend that ONC add device used data element to the medical devices data class, and then applicable vocabulary standard is LOINC, and then there's examples for example elements. Al?
I just wanted to, so that as we've entertained other, or we've considered other device-related data elements and recommendations around those in the past and currently, this, I just wanted to highlight and to make sure that the intent of this recommendation is to convey the device. When we say device used, the LOINC codes that are used to represent these devices as examples, to me, point to sort of categories of devices rather than a device that's identified by UDI, which is only one brand, one lot number, et cetera. And so this is, to us, to ONC, this comes across as sort of a device category. And I just wanted to make sure that sort of aligns with the way that CMS sees this data element. I understand the reason why it needs to be categorized like this, but it represents more of a category rather than a specific device.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what we're aiming for here. Okay. We're not looking to delineate between brands or anything like that.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Hans?
I appreciate that clarification because I was going to ask a question about UDI. Would there be expectations that if it's in the medical device data class that these would be able to carry UDI as well, which for some that might be available, for other ones it certainly would not, at least not typically. So that's helpful that it's if it's intended to be more a category. Question is at that point in time that that I'm not sure that this is being captured this way in a variety of systems that would be of interest. So I'm not sure whether it's fully ready to understand what really and what systems really would capture that at this level of granularity or coarseness. So that's where I would have a concern. Is it truly ready to be used or not? That's my concern at this point in time.
Joel, I don't know if you wanted to weigh in, but my impression from from a health IT standpoint is that these data elements or these codes are already in use for to capture elements of quality measurement and for reporting. That's the way I understand it, because these low-end codes are already used in value sets supporting quality measurement.
Yes, that's correct. I can't speak to other use cases for that purpose, but I can say for quality measurement, we are currently trying to get this level of data for the measures. I would say I don't necessarily see a reason why we would object to getting to incorporating the UDI within the data class or even within the data element and getting that greater specificity. I mean, I could see where that would be potentially useful. It's just not part of the use case that we'd identified internally here.
Yeah, if the intent is category, then UDI would not come in play until you get to the individual item that is actually being used and that you want to record that. And for some, that might be a reasonable and appropriate along the lines of implantable devices. For other ones, not necessarily that's going to be as easily available or collected today. Or it just doesn't exist yet, either way. But the related question is that on the quality measures, is it that those measures already exist? Because I'm trying to trace back as to how that data is being obtained, but it's actually literally entered at the category level or whether it's derived from data that's otherwise in there and it's categorized in that, which is two different things. It would not necessarily be captured. And it's only certain HIT that would do it. That's fine. But so I have a concern at this point in time with it, but so I would not be in favor of it yet. Although I understand the direction it is heading to look at it a little bit deeper to understand, is that reasonable for all HIT that wants to be certified to do it at this level of coarseness?
Thank you, Hans. Shelley, do you have a thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's just the name of it. If you use device used, it's kind of confusing because then you would want the UDI. But if you look at it as the medical device order, then it can be a category because you're not actually dispensing or giving the product that is actually being used as would be the actual device product's UDI. But if you look at it in terms of an order of somebody ordering who wouldn't know which particular device was to be used, then it would make more sense as a category that could then be used as a measure. So I think the problem is the name of it as device used for quality. Maybe if we just change it to device ordered, would give
Shelley, I think it represents both because after the fact, like something like, did you use pneumatic compression stockings? And that would have a low-end code associated with it.
Correct.
Did you use pneumatic compression stockings is obviously a key safety quality issue for reporting.
I don't have a problem with the I don't have a problem with doing this. I think it's appropriate. Okay. I just think it's confusing because of the way it's named.
Okay, so Hans has concerns, and I think, Joel, can you help me understand the intent of the quality measure that is capturing this information? Is it capturing, because I'm wondering if this data exists easiest in this category or easiest in the actual item abstracted up to this category. I think that's kind of what Hans was saying as well. Joel, can you?
It's a fair question. I'm not sure that I'd be able to comment on that specifically. I can tell you that the measure itself, where this is being used, this is being used in the context of functional assessments and identifying whether or not assistive devices are being used in conjunction with the assessment, or whether or not they are typically being used to complete certain daily tasks within the assessment.
So, but then wouldn't that go in health status assessments if it's actually like a LOIC question and answer set to establish dependency on devices? I hate to say that question.
Unfortunately, I think that's probably a question that would be better answered by our PAC team, and they weren't able to join us today. They're at the quality conference. So I don't know that I can give you an informed response on that.
That makes sense. But I'm wondering, Ricky, do you have any questions? Because I think I can understand, again, as a assessment maker user, how this would be utilized in understanding context for specific clients in a PAC situation. And maybe if I don't know if Phil is on the call from a LTSS perspective, but Ricky?
I just had a comment about the kind of the structure of the recommendation here. It wasn't clear to me if the proposal was to include these exact codes, because the way it's written says including, which means almost implies that this is just an example of the types of things that should be here versus proposing a specific value set. So if we did move forward with it, I think it would need more specificity in terms of what is meant by the text.
I'm going to make a recommendation. I hope this is okay. Like, again, I feel like I don't want to put too much pressure on Joel to defend an element that is not directly aligning. What I'm wondering is whether this is a good element to hold on and develop deeper understanding of and revisit next year, given that understanding use is pretty important to understanding how to implement it as a standard. But I hate to say something so bold, that might be a path forward. Because if it's an assessment by an entity of an individual categorizing, like, you know, documenting what medical device was used in order to complete a task, like a functional task, that makes a lot of sense to me why it would be LOINC and why it would be able to be category and not something more specific. But then I wonder where it would go. But I don't want to be so bold. I was thinking about this as the final hour, and I don't, anyone else have questions? Do you feel, if people feel comfortable going forward with it as it is, that's fine. But I'm wondering whether we need to figure out what class it belongs in and understand use more before we advance it.
And was it your thinking that I think you referred to potentially it going under the health assessment data class?
Well, or it could go in medical devices, but I think understanding the use is really important, right? So this is something that is being documented on the behalf of an entity. What I hear you saying is something that's documented observationally on the behalf of an entity assessing a person, right?
Right.
Like they are using this device, right? Physical therapists assess they are using this device, right? So it is a LOINC question and answer that... it's like more broadly than correct.
So I guess that so just to follow up, because I'm taking notes for this, and I want to go back and talk to my folks when we're talking about improving upon this. I think you're wanting clarification on its use,
correct,
and the potential for that use being more appropriate within the context of the health assessment.
Well, it's more. I think it's more the first one. I think I need to understand use more, because I think. Again, anyone else have thoughts? Because maybe I think I can understand why it would still belong in medical devices, but the use element and how we get to these data elements is really important for me to understand personally, Rochelle, and then Hans. And then we do need to move on if we're not comfortable coming to consensus. Rochelle?
Yeah, so I think looking under the functional assessment, it is definitely different than a health assessment. Someone could be immobile, but still have great health. So this is different to say, how do we get this person moving and what kind of transportation? It has a whole bunch of connotations on how a person would move through the healthcare system and navigate to and from the healthcare system. So I do think that it's important. My suggestion is to say, we can clarify later through as we do with other processes that need that little element of clarification, but functional assessment is very important, whether somebody is disabled or not.
Well, this is Steve Eichner. Fact of the matter is that many of those values from a person's perspective or patient's perspective really are not comprehensive enough, nor do they represent reality. Speaking for myself as an example, I use a power wheelchair. I cannot take a step without a rollator or a walker. I can't stand unassisted, personally. None of the things that we're looking at in this set of elements comes anywhere close to addressing that basic mobility.
Yes, so, and it's functional.
So again, I'm not trying to expand it. I'm just saying that there, I guess from a recommendation standpoint, this could be an initial list. Additional work is necessary. Reach out to the patient community and other communities to refine it.
Can I just ask, so Hans, and I'm asking, like, are we comfortable with, now that we understand, Jen, I think Joel and I have talked a little bit more about use, like how this is derived, right? This is like an assessment of device used. And I think we can go forward with it as it is if people are comfortable, but we need to quickly because we do need to move forward in the meeting. Hans?
Picking up on the comments from Mike, but and also Al, is that these goals are at a certain level of coarseness or granularity, much more category. But the fact then whether the questions that are being raised, is it then in the context of what is being ordered? Possibly you're going to have to go more detailed when you're ordering. When you're using it, it might be appropriate and that you look back and you're not necessarily tying it back to an order that you do or do not know about. So I think there's a number of things. Is it best done in medical devices or in functional assessment? But then if you do it there, what else is needed? To me, sounds all like that we are not quite sure yet what this is and needs a little bit more work. The individual data elements or the values in LOINC or otherwise are defined. But the context in which we are asking in USCDI that it be applied and implemented is not totally clear. Is it a functional assessment? Is it an order for a manual wheelchair? What is it? And we have to, some of that we have in lab and medication as well. We have data classes that you could interpret to cover either the order, the report, the test results, or the medication administered.
Hi, I'm going out of 10. Sorry.
So that's why I'm worried that this is not sufficiently, it is close, but not sufficiently clear yet as to what would be asked if we put it in like this. And we see this in USCDI. I'm not sure what is asked to be implemented requires a fair bit more of discussion to say what's really the intent of it, et cetera. That should be part of the definition, and it's not there yet.
And so Joel has added context on the use. And again, I think this is helpful. And I was just reviewing the level 2 element submission. And I think that's helpful. Again, it's like that's helpful for further clarity. And Al, and then let's just get to a show of hands on whether we feel comfortable so we can move on because we do need to keep going. Al?
Really fast from ONC's perspective, from my perspective,
going back to the level two submission, the potential use for this data element is much more clear than the simple text in this recommendation.
Correct. Yeah.
I, from ONC's standpoint, I don't have a problem with this recommendation coming across as used. And Hans, yes, used or ordered, either one would be appropriate to identify this category of device used for or ordered for whatever purpose, whether it's for frailty, whether it's for quality measurement like VTE prophylaxis or whatever other use that you use a device for. To me, it's clear based on the additional information in the submission makes this much more clear than just what's in this recommendation. So, and I from ONC's perspective, we would combine a recommendation with the submission and come up with a solution.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like the observational nature of the information that's contained in the submission itself is a lot clearer. It really is helpful for me. I had to go there myself right now to remind myself. So given this is our final meeting, I think we've clarified the use a little bit. And again, I would caution against ordered because that's not, I don't know if I see that actually. But as an ordering clinician, just as I think this a device used make in the submission makes a lot more sense to me. We can add that clarity in the recommendation letter. A show of hands for individuals who feel like this conversation's been sufficient.
Well, I do want to insert one thing. I feel a lot more comfortable if there were also text inserted that this is an initial level. More work needs to be done, because there does need to be more patient impact, because there are communities that are not represented well here. And looking at this list of elements, there are lots of places to grow. I'm not trying to grow it here and now, but I think we do need to recognize that there are gaps.
Great, and there actually is a very, the value sets included in the submission are much more extensive than these recommendations. So that is comforting. I hear what you're saying. So if we can, a show of hands for individuals who feel like moving forward, and this, Rachel, I believe this addresses your question as well. Medical device used, now that we understand the use. and I think I'm gonna raise my hand myself, just because I think going to the submission grounded me. And Joel, thank you for your patience. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 high tech. Oh, and Stephen Eichner, and then Stephen Lane. You're raising your hand. You're not raising your hand, but we have. Okay, so I believe that is the majority of us. Show of hands for those of us who are against moving forward with this recommendation at this time, just so I can have clarity. And then Ike, I'm assuming you're going to take your hand down. So Hans is not recommending. Hans and Ricky have concerns. Are we comfortable? We comfortable moving forward then, understanding that our technical friends, it seems like we've definitely achieved consensus, and Ricky and Hans, hopefully this is a first step, and thank you. Thank you for supporting in conversation and holding us accountable. All right. These are examples, Ricky. The full value sets are in the submission. It was very helpful for me to go there. There are representative value sets in the level two submission of reference.
Okay, got it. That's helpful. Then we should, I'm assuming that's gonna be clarified when is put forward then.
I do feel like, Al, that we can integrate some of the use case and the examples from the submission to, which really are why we had this conversation today, just trying to understand that, into the final transmittal letter. Are individuals on the call comfortable with us doing that? Seems like, go team. Okay. Hans, do you have a final thought before we go?
Oh, I still have my hand up.
Okay. Again, thank you for the conversation. Joel, thank you for representing CMS on this one. Moving forward, I think again, that conversation really helped me. So we have a recommendation to advance to level one, which is again, very low risk, the provenance signature data element. This is just to move the dial along. This is not going into UCIV5. This is just moving to level one, this element. Any concerns with this? Is again, it's very straightforward, very low risk. It's just us trying to, CDC and CMS trying to advance elements they feel like are critical along the standards development evolution process. All right, no concerns there. I'm gonna skip the next one. There's a couple rollovers from previous ISWG recommendations of elements within the gender harmony data set that were not included in draft USCDI V5, right? So, and so we have a recommendation. So this is, if we go over, I think it is helpful to look at the data class and data element, Al, if you go back over, just because we can't see it. Thank you so much for your patience. So inpatient demographic sex, this is a recommendation to change. And so this is why, again, thank you, CMS friends. So now we can go to the recommendation. So this is recommending the ONC change the name and definition of sex to be an example of recorded sex. This would allow the capturing change more nuanced information, which is essential for proper care and aligns with the elements from gender harmony. Any concerns with this recommendation as it stands? This is just changing the base the base element from sex to be more aligned with current.
Sarah, it's Mark. Can I just ask for confirmation that the language that's there is the same language that was indeed there without edits from the previous year? Or 2 years ago, I guess. No.
Tracy's not here to attest to that, but we can do that. Okay. We can ensure that that's the case.
If it's the same language, I don't have any concerns.
Yeah. Al, can you, we have it that table. Al, can you confirm that the recommendation is the same text from previous years?
I'll look that up. Don't wait for me, but I'll look it up right now.
I just want to note that this is, there's this one, and then there's also the gender identity. So there's two elements there, which were intending to be carryovers from previous ISWG recommendations that were not included in the draft USCDI commissions, V5. Recommendation, so therefore are in level two asking for advancement. This is for this one here, which is recorded sex, and then down also is gender identity, again aligning with gender harmony. Mark?
I'll just note, I did not go back and check to see whether gender harmony project's thinking has evolved since this language. I know it hasn't some of the ones that we have already considered and approved, but I haven't done that here. This looks low enough level that it probably doesn't do any harm, but I'm just saying they have continued to think over the past several years about evolving the landscape. Thank you.
I believe we can. I'm pretty sure that we can look at the example value sets, and any concerns again, Hans?
Following Mark's comment, is that as gender harmony has defined a variety of different aspects that are relevant to be captured distinctly, and if we are in the USCDI, have a data element that is more general and overarching, that where it becomes examples of which one is part of that data element. That can work as long as we recognize that what is in USCDI is not necessarily a one-for-one map with what you see in FHIR, US Core, CCDA, others, where it may need to be teased out into the respective aspects of that. So if that's the case and we are comfortable with that, that USCDI is more general, then I would agree with Mark. It would not do much harm, just as an example in places. But if the intent is for USCDI to be consistent in language with or close to it, what the underlying standards that are driven by gender harmony are doing, then I think this is going to add confusion and ambiguity. Because there are a variety of different concepts and terms being used that are all, when you look at the gender harmony analysis and how that turns into what do we need to be capturing when and where in what context? What does it then really mean? Is critically important. And we are hiding that a little bit in USCDI, which might be okay, but we need to recognize that if we are more general in USCDI, there will be more specific things that still need to be recognized when you actually manage the data itself.
Yeah, so it looks like the recommendations, and Mark, I just put them into the chat, directly aligned with the recommendations from last year and current gender harmony value sets of reference. So, and Hans, thank you for your comment on usage. Given that we've recommended this last year and the delta's not significant, any concerns with moving forward on the recommendation to include recorded sex or gender and gender identity elements as critical elements in USCDI-V5? I see no concerns, so we're okay. Again, this is a recommendation we had before. CMS re-elevated it, and thank you for doing so. Okay, wonderful. And then now, again, team, thanks so much for moving along. The next element, which was assessment and plan of treatment, the next two elements are all extraneous. So then we're going forward into the last two elements, which were recommendations for vaccination with an immunization data class, vaccination event record type. And the text is there. If we can go over to the recommendation. Thank you for, this is the text in the recommendation letter. Any concerns with adding a vaccination event record type into the immunization data class? Shelley?
I had somewhat of a problem with this because it's very similar to what Hans is going to talk about with that we need some time to talk about status and timing. And so I that's where I was coming from with this recommendation. It's very difficult to put it in the way we have it. And I think there's some thought that has to go back. And I think we need to hear from Hans in what we came up with in when we were talking about medication administration. And so both of these immunization categories were a little difficult for me in coming up with a recommendation.
I support that. And again, if, you know, this is partly, you know, a situation where we iterate on things if we're not comfortable. Any other comments on this one? Again, really respecting Shelley and the concern she has.
I mean, we have the same problem with labs, with, you know, when we're talking about the status, what is the status? Was it given? Was it prepared? Was it administered? These are the things that are subcategories under what we're talking about as status. And that's the problem that I had. Can you just categorize what is the definition of status? Taken or not taken? Prepared? Time?
I mean, in this case, I think for the use cases for CMS, and I don't want to speak for CDC, although I think they're in agreement with us on this, because they use it for quality measurement as well as public health surveillance. Status here is referring to have you received the full course of vaccination? Whatever that definition is. So it's really just asking, first, are you vaccinated or are you not? Second of all, when you're vaccinated, were you vaccinated today at the point where you're recording the encounter where you're recording the vaccination, or is this something that was reported historically, as in the patient has said that they've received vaccination, or there's a historical record of them having received vaccination?
we do this often, like for instance, in primary care, with trying to make sure we have the elements to, you know, with pharmacies administering vaccinations, but it's not coming electronically in a way that's sufficient. So we have to hand enter the presence of the vaccination from a fax.
for the quality measure use case, it's actually it's actually pretty straightforward. Yeah. We're just trying to tell whether or not a patient has received a vaccination at the event associated with the particular encounter that's being recorded, or if they're recording that a vaccination had previously occurred and therefore they're not providing them with an additional vaccination now. But exactly. Yeah. From a quality perspective, that's fine because they're already covered.
Exactly. Yes. And this is like, you know, whether, you know, the childhood immunization status measure is a good example of how this is an important element. It exists, it didn't happen then. Any other concerns with this? Again, we don't have a ton of time. If people do not feel, so if we have people who don't feel comfortable, we can always bring this back next year. So can I see a show of hands of individuals who feel comfortable with the recommendation as it stands? So have we captured everybody? So again, if you are also in favor of this, please, and you can't, so we have show of hands. We only have 1, 2, 3, 4 individuals, and I want to, we have 5 individuals, and then 6 is me advancing this. And then who is concerned with this? We have 6. So Pooja, I'm so sorry. So we have 1, 2, 3.
Sorry, I just raised it. So
yeah. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then who is concerned and wants to hold up till next year? I'm assuming hands need to come down that are.
Sarah, my hand's down. I'm just getting, I have connectivity issues.
That's fine. So I don't see any hands on holding it. Okay, so if we had an incomplete vote in favor, but no hands on holding it, are we okay with moving forward and moving forward as it stands? It seems like we must be.
Sarah, this is Steve. I just had one minor text correction. Vaccine information rather than submitting the vaccine, just for clarity. I made the note in the chat.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Al, is that clear to you from a final recommendation standpoint?
In the first, basically the first line, facilities submitting the vaccine should be facilities submitting the vaccine information because they're not obviously submitting the vaccine.
Sorry. I was responding in the affirmative. I'm good with that change. So actually I'll just, so submitting vaccine information, I'm just gonna write it right. So Steve, the recommendation that Tracy wrote is not exactly the same text as in the recommendation letter. Is the text in the recommendation letter as of right now, does that cover it? Does that take care of that issue about vaccine versus vaccine submission, information submission?
It seems to, yeah. Ike, are you okay with that? The text in the letter?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was just making sure we said what we intended to say.
Awesome. Thank you, friend. All right, so moving on to our final SDOH. I mean, our final level tailment, you can tell I'm in gravity mode because I just said SQH. So again, focusing on the text in the recommendation letter and not Tracy's comment, this is a recommendation. If we can go over in the goals and preferences healthcare agent data element. This is a request to, thank you. Goals and preferences data class, healthcare agent. Move along. So the request is to, I love it, recommendation question.
I don't have the number, but I realized that what I wrote in the cells are the same. I'll
number 26. It's number 26.
Yeah. Thank you. I figured that, but I just
yeah.
I wanted to acknowledge that the numbering was not currently correct.
The recommendation is the ONC add healthcare agent data element to the advanced directive. This has changed a little bit, right? Because it's now adding to the new advanced healthcare directive data class and not goals and preferences, right? This is because that as submitted, designating a healthcare agent as a valuable part of advanced care planning, this should be captured in advanced directives data class if applicable. Any concerns with this addition? No concerns. All right. So we're just going to now switch it slightly. No, if there are no concerns, I'm assuming we are in favor of adding healthcare agent to the newly recommended advanced directive applicable. I think it's like advanced healthcare directive. I forget what we named it. The data class. Sound good? Fantastic. Okay, so I'm going to move now to Hans, the discussion on process to make sure that we can get to those. And then we're going to close out with any resolutions on final recommendations that ONC needs in order to craft the transmittal letter. We're almost there, friends. So Hans, so you have had these general process statements here, I think, since the first meeting. If you can help us briefly walk through them before we transition to the any final edits or requirements for the transmittal letter, that would be fantastic.
So there are two topics, and they've come up in different ways in the prior high-tech discussions on the USCDI as well. I'm navigating to the text on my screen so that I have it readable. And it is about two challenges. One is that, and I think we are seeing a couple more potential examples today, that when we have USCDI and it's defined initially and then published, when you go through the next round, which takes between publication, I think it's, let's say, June, July is roughly, and May the next year, when the FHIR US Core and CCDA guides come out, there is a fair amount of discussion going on that clarifies intent, perspectives, et cetera, that then are accepted into the standard. And the standard is used by HIT that wants to be certified to certain criteria. That's based on what they actually test against the right test procedures. Now, the challenge is that when you look at the two, in a number of areas, there's just a small variation, or it is actually fairly clear. Most of it actually is very clear. But there are areas where it is not clear that you can interpret the USCDI scope differently than in the standard. And that is being worked out through that discussion and balloting, et cetera, and then we end up there. But it's not coming back in USCDI in a recognizable form for those that are not as familiar, are not going to dive into the standards, that they have the same understanding of what's in the end the scope that's going to be looked at. A couple of examples in here. The medication administration that we talked about, are we talking about lab orders or are we just talking about the lab results and tests? Some of those things are just, you can interpret it a couple of different ways in USCDI. So these are examples of where this happens and some concerns that come up, where the suggestion is from a process perspective, can we have, and it would be reasonable and appropriate to ask and say, as there are these kind of differences in interpretation and intent that are being clarified, but that you could not quite read out of USCDI, that there is an update process of sorts that can reflect that. So today, that would mean if there are some variances that go back to USCDI version 3, some to 4, and we have discussed a couple of them that in 5 have an opportunity or potential, I should say, to have the same kind of challenge of, now, what we defined is not necessarily what we did. That is the example today of devices used. Are we going to truly look at the used one or ordered? And the current text would allow you to interpret it both ways. Assume for a moment it goes in as proposed. We would not know exactly what it is, and we likely are going to end up with one of the two, not necessarily both. So the suggestion and recommendation is that ONC, as we run into those, as we highlight those where that distinct difference is too big, and then at that point in time, can we have an update to the version that was already published to clarify that so that there is no difference in interpretation by those that just read UCDI and those that start to really work with the software that supposedly supports that. So that's the first one.
Hans, I'm going to ask you to simplify that in a way that we can put in a transmittal letter.
So the fact that
if we scroll over, I don't to the final recommendation. I don't see I'm sorry. This is just because I have to take responsibility for editing and approving the transmittal letter. How do we succinctly translate that into a recommendation to HITACH and ONC?
So in column J, the draft that is in there actually does indicate that the recommendation synchronized V5 okay. and prior versions as well with the final FireUS Core and CCDA specification to ensure that the scope is fully aligned, enabling consistent interpretation of what's in and what's out. And then we can tune that a little bit. And then specifically, it's looking at these ones where that distinction is substantial enough that such an update would be appropriate. So we can tweak these words, but that's exactly saying what the intent is to synchronize V5 and then go back in some wording or otherwise that it's clear that it's applicable for some of those back to V3. So that's the specifics.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry because because this is still all the way back into.
Oh, I can copy it. That's not a problem.
Yeah. Can you actually just quickly highlight, because again, we have a very short period of time to address your concerns. If you can highlight the second comment, and that also needs to be drafted, translated into something that is ISWG recommendation relevant. I think it's very straightforward, but then we can move to having workgroup conversation on both of the process elements in toto.
Yeah, so the second one is suggesting to lift a copy from prior HITACH recommendations, as we've done in a couple of other areas as well. The underlying concern that is highlighted is that the intent of UCDI, as we understand it, is to inform and then the standards that are being used in certification. And certification is used for any HIT that wishes to be certified. And there are a couple of criteria in and I'll just pick on, it's the same one for CCDA, but it's for FIRE US Core, is that for certain criteria, G10, I believe is the exact one, where you actually then have to certify against all the capabilities that are listed in FireUS Core that supports all of USCDI. And we are increasingly seeing, and that continues, that certain specialty EHRs are not necessarily collecting, managing all the data. They may get a document that contains it that they can view, but they're not necessarily have a need to take all that data out that's applicable for them. And then there's other HIT beyond EHRs that would benefit from or might be interested in certifying it as well. Or you could consider some of those specialty EHRs or a very focused one. But effectively, they would not have to support, or they should not have to support everything in USCDI. So I think it's a continued concern that are there ways in which we can organize USCDI in combination with the certification program to better manage that not every HIT needs to certify against everything. EHRs are expected to certify against everything, but even specialty EHR frequently do not support everything that is in USCDI. And USCDI is where it starts. So that's why this is the process question: how can we make it more clear from the start and then throughout that one need not support everything always?
Thank you. And again, that we have to figure out how to translate that into a final recommendation comment. And now I want to make sure that we don't have a ton of time before public comment. So the comment, we're gonna have general conversation and then clarity on whether individuals agree that these are process questions. And again, thank you everybody for their Herculean work that's come to this point. And I'm glad that we are at a point where ONC has what they need for the transmittal letter. And let's go, Mark.
So I'll tend to think of USCDI as being data elements that are available across use cases, across workflows, not really constrained by anything. Both present use cases and workflows, but also the future ones that we are not yet envisioning. And so I like to standing broadly of how USCDI would work, and it raises concern about whether we're, for me, raises concern about whether we are constricting things both in the present and in the future in ways that might not be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mark. And again, a couple more comments, and then we have to decide whether or not we approve as ISWG of these two comments being part of the transmittal letter. Rochelle?
I think I agree with Mark. He says it a little bit more eloquently. I think we've done a lot of work on trying to clarify or to say for future elements where we can add specificity, where it's not clear, but to move forward on them. And I understand what Hans' concerns are, but if we go too far down the procedure or process part, we may lose the spirit of what we're trying to capture.
Thank you, Rochelle. Ricky?
I think in general, as the others have said, these are all valid and important concerns. My question about the first one of these is more technical, which is, what exactly does synchronize mean? Are we proposing an additional step in the annual process where there's some sort of reconciliation between what has been drafted in US Core and CCDA to what was proposed or something else? So maybe that would need to be fleshed out a little bit more in terms of what does that mean, who's going to be doing that, and what is the outcome? And then on the second one, I agree with the other comments. This seems really important. I think how it is implemented could be lots of different ways. And so I think it would warrant more discussion to figure out what's the best way to meet the needs of the HIT vendors who, for whom this may not be relevant, but yet make sure that it's also not used in a way to limit the data that may be accessible by patients and providers.
Excellent. So, all right, we have a teeny bit of time. Let's start with the intention of the first process element, which is contained, if we can go to the full text. And Hans, you were saying that the text as stated, and again, even with Ricky's comment on what does synchronize mean here, could be transferred into a comment in the transmittal letter. Do you want to comment before we do that?
Yes, I actually am a little uncomfortable with the language. What do we mean by synchronize USCDI version 5 with file US Core? Does that mean that if things are not present in both, that they shouldn't be considered, because there's a time and a place, and that sometimes USCDI needs to prod US Core and the other standards to say, this is something you need to work out. And so this to me kind of neuters our and kind of abrogates our responsibility to be thought leaders and to be able to suggest things that are not currently available in the standards. And that's a function of the USCDI, which is to set the standard, mm-hmm. not to conform to what is already out there.
Thank you. Al?
Just this concern has been raised over the several years. And I just wanted to maybe reframe the question about the question of what does synchronize mean? I wanted to pose a question that may reframe synchronize into a recommendation. And I understand that this concern may be go back and change USCDI version 5 after US Core is published. If that's the question, that should be the recommendation. I believe that that's the question or the recommendation, but I just wanted to, that question may help clarify what the recommendation ends up being.
Can I, we do not have a ton of time. And then, so Hans, if you have a brief comment, please, but I need to move us to a formal vote about whether people are comfortable with the content. And I hear enough people not being that I want to make sure we get to that discussion. So Hans.
Yeah, so a suggestion for instead of synchronize is that there is an amendment, a clarification update to the version that the standards are intending to support to clarify these variations so that there is clarity to the reader, not having to totally go back and republish all of a prior version, but they have an explanation to indicate, and these are things that are currently not implemented in FHIR US Core and I agree to that they're not there, so that conformance to the certification and conformance to UCDI can then be measured and say, yep, we are conforming to UCDI as intended. So it is to have an amendment that to the version to identify those areas and clarify from a UCDI perspective what aspects were really meant to go into the standards. So that's what is meant with synchronizing.
I'm sorry, we're at public comment time, so I need to move us to a vote. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, and just the last part is that USCDI is intended to look forward in some fashion, but the question is at times the additions that are being made are more than it turns out that the standards are then able and actually implementing. So that harmonized with this. It's not to say that that UCDI can only include what's already included in standards, although that actually would be much more clear. But because it's going ahead and the two are used together, and we need to recognize that they're together, UCDI 5 is going to be supported by FHIR US Core 8 as the particular, is that you want to be reasonably aligned on expectations. Hence the amendment that addresses any variations that have occurred that are too big
okay.
To leave open.
I'm so sorry. So I'm going to have to, I hear enough concerns on the recommendations that's drafted that I'm going to make a recommendation that pulls forward a suggestion from Mark, which first of all is to acknowledge the rightful concerns that are raised in these two elements and to make that observation, right? But to not necessarily follow the recommendation and make a recommendation, and Marcus has elegantly said that it could be a suggestion to ONC to reflect on ways to respond to it, and then we can come back next year, but to not move forward with the recommendations as drafted, because I hear enough significant concerns about that we do not have time to address, and we're already moving into public comment. So that is my proposal, trying to synthesize where we are. All in favor of that, please raise your hand. All right, and then is anyone not raising their hand that needs to? I see. Okay, we have agree from Stephen Lane in the comments. So I believe, okay, if we can just have for the sake of clarity, thank you, Hung's in there. Okay, that is definitely a majority. All right, okay, thank you so much. So Hans, thank you for your critical perspective, especially representing EHRs. We really appreciate it. I think elevating the observation as an observation of note is really important. I believe friends, charge, addressed, Seth, public comment, and thank you. So sorry we're late going into public comment. Thank you, Hans, for your—
All right, thank you. All right, thank you, Sarah. SL, if we could open the line for public comment, please. So if you would like to make a public comment, if you are on Zoom, you can use the raise hand function that is located in the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you're on the phone only today, you can press star 9 to raise your hand. And then once called upon, please press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. So we'll give folks about 30 seconds here to queue up if we have any public comments. Okay, we have no comments on the line, and I'm not seeing any hands raised on the Zoom. So I will turn it back to Sarah and Ike to close this out.
It is hard to say anything else other than thank you, friends. the always extensive, brilliant, thoughtful, representative, like work of this committee, it blows me away. It blew me away last year, and it blows me away again today. It's an honor to facilitate and assist in everything, all of your wisdom making. Thank you for helping us complete our charge. We have a fair bit of work to do before April 11th, when we'll present this to HITACH, and we're just incredibly grateful for all of you. Ike?
Yeah, no, I'd like to extend my gratitude to everybody as well. It's been a real pleasure working with everybody on ISWG this year. And I think we've got some great recommendations together. Thank you again for all your efforts.
I see a comment from, yes, okay, great. And then Al, and just a note, there is a comment on how we're going to draft the recommendations. I'll work with Al to make sure that the recommendations on the process elements are correctly included, and with Ike in the transmittal letter. Friends, thank you. Happy spring. And I hope to see all of you on April 11th at the HITACH in-person meeting in public representation, or at HITACH itself. Hopefully see you next year too. Thank you.
Bye.